Welcome to episode 2.
No, we're not saying the episode numbers anymore.
That's what I was gonna say. Okay. that's what I'm making fun of.
All right.
Sessionable.
Welcome to Sessionable. Thanks for all your feedback and for listening to all of our past episodes. It's been awesome. This is actually the first one we've recorded in a long time, and we'll get into why a bit later. But we thought we'd start off with wrapping up the recent Sydney Craft Beer Week.
Yeah.
Because three quarters of us had a big week that week. Actually, I'd say all of us had a big week that week.
I had a big week, but not in Sydney.
Yeah.
You had a craft beer week there, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so...
I can't remember it, where I even was.
yeah, we had a big week. We all had a big week. Liam and I and our producer Lee definitely had a massive week all around Sydney.
Yeah.
So I thought we'd start off with sort of saying what our like favourite event was, or favourite beer. Or.
Well, I think first off the bat, I was really impressed with the whole week.
Yeah, I thought it was,
it was a massive improvement on the previous ones. There were some pretty cool events as well.
Oh yeah, there were some great events, yeah. And some really different events that weren't done last year, and some really innovative and imaginative events, which is really good to see. I think my favourite event was, and I'm going to get this out first before anyone else says it, was the Colorado Beach Club. Feral event. I thought that was just fantastic.
I had a great day.
Such a great day. And it was great drinking all the feral beers up there. And it was great that the bus picked us up from the tap house and dropped us back off at the welcome. I thought that was a great touch.
Yeah, so I think tying in the first beer for that one is... so that was, I think, was that the first day of Craft Beer Week?
It's the second.
Second, so that was my first event. My first, like, big event, I guess.
It was my first day of Craft Beer Week, because I didn't do anything.
I did, like, the Vic in the Park thing the day before, but, yeah. And so, because it started at the tap house, of course, you have to have a beer while you're waiting. So the beer that I had was the beer that we got in front of us now.
Oh, fantastic, what a good
segue. So this was, like, one of my good starts to the podcast and
to Craft Beer Week. Yeah. So we should probably say what we're drinking. So, yeah, I've had this beer as well. Wait, am I going to say what? Yeah, we're drinking the Brew Cult Can't Fight the Funk Farmhouse IPA, which was on tap at the Tap House all week for Sydney Craft Beer Week.
Oh, I missed it on tap. Damn
it. Did, yeah. This is the first time you've had this beer, isn't it?
It is.
Adrian?
Yeah.
So you should probably describe why Adrian hasn't had this beer before.
And we should probably describe the beer as well.
Yeah, we'll get to that.
Feedback we've had.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, so why is it that you missed it on tap, Adrian?
I was out of town. I was actually in the USA.
Oh, because you were on the podcast just 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, I was only there for a couple of weeks. Yeah.
You might have noticed with the last couple of podcasts, I'm talking to the audience now, that they were a bit outdated. We banked up a whole bunch because we knew Adrian was going away. So Adrian's back now from his trip. And... You're going to tell us all about it in a sec, aren't you?
Yeah, soon.
Cool. Awesome.
So we'll talk about Sydney Craft Beer Week first.
Yeah, and we'll talk about this. We should... Let's describe the beer before we do anything else. So it's a farmhouse IPA from Brew Cult. We've had a few Brew Cult beers on the podcast before.
We've had one.
A few. Which is one of my favourites of the last year, easily.
Which is?
Oh yeah, which is the Acid Freaks. I had to read my shirt there.
Which we did that in our wrap up of Good Beer Week.
We did, yeah. So Hendo's the brewer and the owner behind Brew Cult. He's one of the most approachable guys in the Australian craft beer scene. He gets around to a lot of events. He's all over Sydney Craft Beer Week, and yeah. So I thought maybe because you've never had this beer before, Adrian, why don't you sort of tell us what you're thinking?
Well, I'm getting a lot of Belgian character in the nose. Almost like a... Well, it is like a farmhouse ale, right? So
yeah.
I was going to say almost like a Saison, but it is a Saison.
Well, it's a Saison yeast, I believe.
Mm. Yeah.
I'm not probably. Really getting too much hop aroma. I'm not sure if that's meant to be a character in this one or not. But, yeah, definitely getting that Saison type.
I think that there's quite a bit of...
smell and flavour.
It's not like a piney IPA at all. It's, I mean, you still get that corner of your tongue bitterness, I guess. Mm. But, yeah.
Because it says here, Citra, Columbus and Centennial.
Mm. So some pretty classic American IPA.
Classic American IPA hop structure with a Saison yeast, I think.
And this is going to be part of a series.
Yeah.
Is it I think it was this Hendo saying the psychedelic series?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Something like that. Yeah.
And the label is just beautiful, isn't it? Like, it's I think he's done some really of the best labels. Mm. I do. You've probably seen me wearing the shirt that I got.
Yeah, a couple of times.
Yeah. This isn't the first time I've worn it while recording an episode either.
That's pretty sad.
It's not a visual medium, Tom.
Yeah.
It is for you guys.
Yeah, I mean, so I really like this beer. I think it's, I think, sort of in line with the Hop Zone, it's quite approachable. I reckon this would be a pretty cool gateway beer.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it is.
To get people into
it. And it was when it, when it was on tap, people were loving it.
Mm.
It was, yeah.
It's a really solid Saison, I think.
Hmm.
But it does have a nice, I think, it's got more hops than a normal Saison, easily. Like,
yeah. I don't know, like, I wouldn't say it's a criticism, but I think you'd imagine it to be a bit more hoppier than that.
Especially after having his, like, the Hop Zone Session IPA, and knowing Hendo and drinking some of
and
his
even, you know, like
places.
The India Saison collaboration, which is sort of along the same lines as well, But yeah, no, I really like this beer. I think it's really solid.
Yeah. So are there any other sort of standout events you had for Craft Beer Week?
I think anyone who was at the Colorado Beach Club knew how much of a great time I had.
At that event. And at the welcome
and
afterwards
at the welcome
as well.
And at Frankie's after that. Yeah. But I think one of the events that I really enjoyed was the beer blending with Ben Krause
and Josh from Moondog
and Ben Krause from Bridge Road, of course.
At Beer Cartel.
Yeah, Beer Cartel. That was a really... it was really cool. It was pretty different.
Yeah.
It wasn't just like, let's all get fucked up and skull liters of beer. But it was...
Like Colorado.
Yeah. I mean, like, there's nothing wrong with that.
No.
But yeah, I thought it was really cool. And it was a really good event where you got some really good FaceTime in a small group. With the two brewers.
Yeah.
And they were, you know, they were pretty cool and they were really, really willing to share the love a bit
and have a chat.
And have a chat. Yeah. And there were some fucking awesome blendings that day.
That, I think my pick for those ones was the first one we had. The Chevalier Saison and the Jumping the Shark.
Yeah.
Just awesome.
I mean, yeah, stuff like that, I would never think to blend those two beers.
Just for the listeners, the Jumping the Shark is a Imperial... cognac barrel aged truffled stout from Moondog, and they did a 70-30 blend, 30% Jumping the Shark and 70% Chevalier Saison from Bridge Road.
And it amazing.
Turned it into like a just an awesome, almost Belgian dark in flavour with a bit of like truffles
but
coming
like,
through. And
depending on like, has it warmed up, it changed into about four different beers as well. It was so complex. It was amazing. But, yeah, that was really cool. That was probably my favorite beer as well. And the last one, which was when they was on tap, which was like the half keg of tap, which they sent to
Bridge. So yeah, Moondog filled up half a keg with their Love Tap Double Lager.
Yeah.
Sent it over to Bridge Road, where they filled the rest of it up with the Galaxy Single Hop IPA.
Yeah.
So it was a keg of blended beer, and nice. It was
that was awesome.
Awesome.
Yeah. That had so much funk going on. Yeah.
That was, it just had, like, lots of different stuff going on.
Yeah.
It was a really nice... It worked really well, because I think Love Tap has the Galaxy in it to...
But, I mean, overall, I thought that event was really cool, because it was a bit of... The whole thing was a bit of an experiment.
Yeah.
And, you know, the guys were pretty open in the fact of saying they had a pretty rough idea how it was going to work, but they hadn't actually done it before. So it was good fun.
Yeah,
and definitely. I thought it was really cool.
No, I completely agree. I think that was a great one. The other, I think, winner of Sydney Craft Beer Week I want to point out is the Welcome Hotel.
Yeah, fuck. The Welcome had some cracking events on.
They did. And Liam, the publican there, just was fantastic at hosting all of the events. Really nice guy. And just made it a really memorable place to go to a few times during the week.
Yeah.
Is this a third Liam in the...
This is another Liam in Sydney Craft Beer Week.
Have you not met Liam from the Welcome yet?
I don't think I've met third Liam.
Ah, cool. Yeah, third Liam's pretty rad.
Yeah. Liam 3.
Liam 3.
Is there a shit Liam? Really?
There's no shit Liam.
But the event that they did with Ecom and Little Brewing Co. was insane. I've never seen a bar in non-festival mode in Craft Beer Week get rammed so fast.
Yeah.
When you have, like, brewers helping out behind the bar, or with RSAs, of course, helping out behind the bar and helping to pull beers and collect glasses, you know, it's a pretty hectic event. Yeah.
Do you have to have an RSA to be a brewer? I'm pretty sure you do, right?
I don't know if you have to have an RSA to brew beer, but then a lot of the things you do when you're a brewer, like doing beer festivals and that stuff,
and
you
sell
have
it
to have.
Or
yeah.
Need it.
Yeah. If you're selling beer, then you have to have one, definitely. So it's more like a, when you're in the game, it's what you do, I guess.
Yeah. Mm. But yeah, I think just to wrap up Sydney Craft Beer Week, it was a great week. Some really great events all over Sydney.
I gotta say props to all involved.
Definitely.
I think they've really stepped up their game.
And I just want to say the program, the booklet they sent out was so smick. It was the map on the inside. I've kept a few of them because they're going to be useful for just giving to people. It's like when they ask a question, where can I find good beer in Sydney? Look at this map. Have a look. Take this.
I think we just need an app.
Yes.
I don't know. Has anyone done an app for a craft beer week in Australia yet?
I don't believe there was a good beer week one.
There was a Gabs
there,
app.
There was a Gabs,
right?
A Gabs app. Made by a friend of the show.
Yeah.
Morgan. Our producer just questioned, is he a friend of the show?
Question mark.
Questionable.
Nice. It was a freaking awesome week.
Yeah.
You know, like when you get to the end of the week and I was at work, because I did like, you know, good 40 odd hours of work during the week as well. And I was at the end of the week and I was just talking to someone at work and I was like, fuck, it's been such a hard week. I was like, yeah, it has. Like, no, you've just been hungover or pissed the whole week. We've actually been doing work. I'm like, yeah, fair enough. It was a good week.
Hey, you were doing work. That's work, right? Research.
I was, networking.
Research. Yeah. Networking.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was on a research trip in the US. Yeah.
For which job?
To be confirmed.
An upcoming one.
An upcoming one, yeah.
So, when we were cheering Sydney Craft Beer Week, back to the Can't Fight the Funk, Hendo was all around and having good chats.
Yeah, I'm going to say, it's the first time I really had a good chance to hang out with Hendo.
Okay,
like, I've had, had brief hellos and stuff.
Because he was
like
up
that.
For last Sydney Craft Beer Week.
Yeah, but
I had a few chats with him.
There was
him
a few
Melbourne
times that I really got to hang out with Hendo. And
Hendo,
like, is
a rad dude.
A rad dude, yeah.
He's
definitely, I've got to say, one of the most approachable
easily
brewers in the industry as well.
And he's so willing to just have those conversations.
It's like, you know, like sometimes you hang out with a brewer and like you're like, oh, I'm hanging out with a brewer. Hendo's just like a really rad dude you can just have a couple of beers with, I reckon.
Yeah, he parties hard as well.
Yeah. Not as hard as others.
I've had some big nights with Hendo.
Yeah.
But one thing he was talking about all week when I was talking to him about his beers, especially the Can't Fight the Funk and the Hop Zone, he was talking about the idea that hoppy beers should be drunk straight away, that fresh is best.
Mm.
And so that's sort of going to be the topic of the episode today.
I agree with that. We'll get to that.
And to kick, I think to just also segue that a bit more, Adrian, if you want to sort of tell us about your trip a bit.
So I did a month and a half in South America before doing a month in the US. And South America wasn't really like a beer thing, it was more of a travel thing. Whereas the US was all beer, pretty much. I was there for 32 days. I drank for 30 of those, I think.
And I hear you almost went to GABF,
I did go to one day, but the next 2 days I was sick. Those are the 2 days I didn't drink. So I missed out on that. That whole week was really cool, actually. The week leading up to GABF, there were just so many people drinking good beer. There's so many good beers on. That even if you didn't go to GABF that week, it would have still been amazing.
So that's what I sort of like, you know, with these beer weeks and stuff like that, is sometimes you don't actually have to pay to go to any ticket events to have a great week.
Mm.
you know, I think we said it with the Melbourne Good Beer Week as well. Like, you know, everyone just seems to step up their game and whip out those special things they've been having in the cellar and stuff like that. And
yeah,
you almost don't have to go to events.
And that's kind of thing with Good Beer Week in Melbourne is that, you know, the Gabs is like the big thing at the end of the week, but the whole week itself is just great for the atmosphere and just random free events.
Mm. Did you find any cool beers in South America?
I did. So I did some research before going there. Mm-hmm. I found some pretty good beers. My favorite was probably this one in Argentina that I didn't even know about, and I found in a supermarket. Actually, no, I didn't find it in a supermarket. One of the receptionists at the hostel that I was staying at just told me about it and was like, yeah, you should try this beer. And it was this awesome, I can't remember the name of it, but it was a Belgian-style double.
So was it from Argentina?
From Argentina, from this really small farm that brews their own beer.
Cool.
And it only gets distributed like in the local area and specialty bars in Buenos Aires. So
that's awesome.
That was really cool. I'll get the name of it and we'll put it in the show notes.
Yeah, sweet. Yeah, sure.
I was surprised by the amount of good beer available in South America. They have a pretty cool scene in the three of the four countries that I went to, Bolivia being the exception.
I think they specialize in other vices in Bolivia.
We'll talk about that in a different podcast. the scenes there are like maybe a few years behind us, so I have no doubt that they're going to get better and better, like we did, and like New Zealand did, and like US did,
and like everyone seems to be doing. Yeah.
It's cool that it's like it's happening worldwide.
Mm.
Like this impetus is happening all at the same time, and not everyone's at the exact same level, but
it is happening everywhere. Mm. Yeah. Mm. Except Bolivia.
Yeah, that time will come.
Mm. Everything's state-owned in Bolivia, so that's probably the problem.
Yeah.
That's a really cool country, though, non-beer-wise. Probably my favourite country of the trip.
Rad.
Yeah. The US was just insane. I think we talked about it in the US episode, how you just go into any random pub and they'll have at least a couple of craft taps on, and if you go to the craft beer bars, it's just crazy.
So, did you revisit some old favourites?
A lot of old favourites, actually. Like, I'm wearing a Pliny the Elder shirt at the moment. I drank that quite a bit. Just went around and enjoyed myself. Yeah. And it kind of hurt.
Yeah. Why?
Drinking that much.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I found last time in the States, it's like, you come a bit numb to great beers because the level is so high. Like any one of the beers you could have had over there, if you had over here, you'd think is freaking amazing. But because everything is so good, you're like, yeah, it's pretty good.
So did you bring us anything back?
So that's going to be our next beer. I said I was going to bring the Cigar City High Lie.
Yeah.
Kind of lied.
Oh. Okay.
That beer is ranked 250 in the Beer Advocate.
Yeah.
Top 250. This one.
This is why you haven't shown it to us yet.
And this is why I haven't shown you. Is ranked number one.
Oh! Wow. Okay, it's so we actually haven't seen, like, we did not know who's going to bring this, but tell us what it is, Adrian.
It's called Heady Topper from The Alchemist in Vermont.
God,
and
so
these guys
excited.
Are, like, really close to, and I think they have an association with Ben and Jerry's in Waterbury, in Vermont.
Yeah.
So they're just literally down the road from them.
So what style of beer is it?
It's a double IPA, American style.
In a can.
And it actually says, boy can too. We can talk about this later. It says, drink from the can. Drink from the can. And, yeah, so
beast.
I'll get it over with and pour it for you guys.
That is amazing.
That's a good sound. Oh man, that's so exciting.
I was almost gonna drink this because we were just delaying the recording so long.
Well, you gotta have it fresh, right?
Yeah, because you gotta have it fresh.
That's the Yeah, the topic for today is having it fresh. So, does it say when it was canned?
But I can tell you when it was canned. About 3 weeks and 2 days ago, because it came in that day that I bought it, and it was canned the day before, and it usually sells out within half a day.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Fantastic. Yeah. It's definitely...
It's like 3 weeks. You know, you may as well throw it away, you know.
Yeah.
Down my mouth.
Yeah. Pour it down your mouth. Yeah.
So this is one of those US beers that, I don't know, if you are on the internet much, probably hear a lot about, and then never get to try, and I'm pretty excited to get to try it.
Well, yeah, this is the only beer they make, and their distribution is just within Vermont, so...
So where did you get the beer from?
From Burlington. I was visiting some friends over there.
Cool.
And, yeah, they were like, you should visit. We have Heady Topper. It's like, okay.
Done.
So it's got, just to describe it a bit, it's almost the same color as the Can't Fight the Funk.
Mm.
It's very cloudy, isn't it?
Yeah, it's unfiltered.
Very, very cloudy, and it's sort of a deep straw, I'd say. Mm-hmm.
It's got quite a fluffy head.
Yeah, quite a fluffy head. Not to get too wanky. Actually,
smells
what are we,
good.
What am I kidding? And I will just mention as well, and we'll talk about this maybe, is we're all drinking this out of the Spiegelau IPA glass, the one that looks like a butt plug.
Ribbed for your pleasure.
Yeah.
I quite like it, actually.
I really like drinking out of it.
I got to say, first time I saw this glass, I thought it was an absolute load of wank. But yeah. I don't know, Tom and I have had these around the house for a while, and... Yeah. Cool.
And
I like
it.
I like how it re-agitates it towards the bottom.
That's something I never thought about. And then, when you're drinking it, you realise that the ribs do agitate the beer as you're getting to the bottom of it. And it works quite well. It's Spiegelau, so the glass quality is just beautiful, thin, yet still sturdy feeling glass.
It's got nice handles, so you feel like a Prost!
Alright, I'm going to take a sip.
That's pretty amazing.
I will say, on topic, that it was tasting way better 3 weeks ago.
Okay, so...
Yeah.
It's still tasting good now.
It is, but I think you probably can tell that some of the real, like, super fresh hop flavours and aroma have died down a bit. It's still a lot there.
Yeah.
But it is... the bitterness is sort of creeping up, and the flavour and aroma's creeping down a bit.
It is, actually a bit more subdued than I thought it would be.
Yeah. But it's fucking delicious. So it's 8%.
So apparently these guys had a brew pub and were brewing more beers, different beers, but their brew pub got flooded. So now they only have their one production facility, and all they're doing is a Heady Topper in a can.
Yeah.
They don't even keg.
They don't keg at all. Wow. So it's just this product that we've got.
It's just... Yeah. This is the only thing they do, and they do it really well.
So, drink from the can! ! All around the top of it. What do you think?
There's like my favourite line on the can is, don't be a D-bag, recycle this.
Yeah.
There's like a long spiel about drinking from the can in the back there. Mm. And I had it from the can the first time, and in the glass the second time. And I've got to say, there wasn't a huge difference. I think the drinking it fresh is more important than drinking it from a can.
Yeah. I think for me, like, the problem with the can is the exact same problem I have with drinking from a bottle, is that you're drinking it from such a small opening, your nose can't get in there and smell it.
Yeah. I think this one is, you know, probably bigger than most other cans
I've
seen.
It's kind of like the Solo can.
Yeah. But...
Well, have you seen the Sly Fox cans, the new ones? The 360, so they open...
The whole circle
of the top opens up.
I have
so
seen
it
those.
Becomes essentially a glass, so you can get your nose in there.
Yeah, they're really cool.
That, to me, I drink out of that can, the Sly Fox ones. Yeah. But if it's just, like, it's a bit bigger than, like, a Coke can opening, but not much.
Yeah.
You don't get any of the nose from it, and that's my big, sort of, problem with drinking from the can is that I want to smell the beer.
Mm-hmm.
I want to see the beer. I want to, you know, I think drinking beer is more than just drinking beer.
Mm.
If you're going to really enjoy it.
Yeah.
So let's get on to fresh.
I think with IPAs, like really massively dry hopped beers, it is a valid point.
Yeah, but I do find it kind of funny that IPA is the style. Like, when you think of what in craft beer to drink fresh,
yeah,
that IPA is the style that you need to drink fresh. When you look at the history of IPA,
yeah,
and the whole point of it was to design,
to drink it
aged. So I guess that comes down to the difference between an English style IPA and an American style, because the American style is very much meant to be drunk like soon as it finishes conditioning, you want to drink it.
Yeah.
Whereas the English one, like, I think, was it Martin Cornell, the historian for the Ale Star session? He was saying he put out a bottle of Meantime IPA. He put it on a balcony in Dubai.
Yeah.
And he had one in his fridge, and he kept them for the same amount of time. And the one that was sitting outside in Dubai tasted better than the one that was sitting in the fridge for the 6 month period. Which I find pretty interesting that it taking that sort of pressure and heat for an English style IPA makes it better, but doing that for an American IPA really does not do it any favors at all.
I think in a perfect world, drinking any beer fresher is going to taste better, but the problem we have is when we live in a country like Australia that's so fucking far away from everything that it's not always the perfect thing. And I mean, yeah, like, this beer tastes amazing. I'm sure it did taste better 2.5 weeks ago, but it still doesn't make it a bad beer now.
No. Not at all.
Yeah.
I think...
I mean, it's probably in my top tier of IPAs. And I say top tiers because I don't want to pick a favourite. It's hard to.
It's
A lot of them are, like, very similar. And unless you have them side by side, it's going to be hard to kind of decide.
But, you know, there's a whole, like, the German rule is that you drink the beer from the brewery that you can see.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, if you're in the States, like... Yeah. Yeah.
Fair enough. But here in Australia, we don't necessarily have that luxury.
Yeah, I mean, to a degree, we can drink some Aussie stuff.
Riverside and, you know, Young Henry's if you want Sydney-based.
I mean, Riverside. I had a customer come into work the other day and asked me how old my Riverside 55s were.
And at first
I was like, should I get shitty about that? But I was like, no. Like, well, they actually were really fresh. I mean, they're like 2 days old. But I think it's a valid question.
Even when we went to Riverside... you know, we tasted, was it the 88, the porter? And it was a fresh batch. And usually, Dave was saying, I think he lets it sit for a while, and he decided just to put a keg on that he'd just done. And it was remarkably different between the fresh one that was on the tap there and, you know, the bottles we'd tried before. In a completely different way. I will disagree with you on one thing you said earlier, Liam. You said that ideally any beer will taste better fresh. I think some beers... fresh is not best, I think.
Well, I mean, there are beers that are designed to age.
Yeah, and I think that's...
a bit different, yeah.
We'll get to that later on.
Yeah. But, yeah, I think in a perfect world, most beers
will taste amazing out of the brewery.
But, like, and, like, you know, we have a lot of people in the States who are very vocal about that, and there's a reason why there's a lot of beers we can't get here legitimately. And in the day, I guess, I know, you come to a hard decision. Like, do you respect the people who make it when they're saying, we'd rather you don't drink it?
Yeah.
You know, or you go through one of the people who parallel import it and crack it. I mean, they're still great beers, but yeah, they're not the same. But in saying that, there are some Australian brewers who are
pretty as anal about
adamant.
That. Yeah,
anal or adamant.
Yeah, adamant. Yeah, maybe
anal is a bit negative, sure. But...
But definitely, like, Brendan from Feral is definitely one of them. Even just talking about Hendo as well. You know, he's pretty passionate about people not letting his beer sit for a while and drinking it fresh.
I mean, I kind of admire the way that... I mean, Brendan is very adamant about fresh is best, but he doesn't just sit and complain about it. He's gone through and made the steps in how his beers are distributed across Australia and how they looked after to make sure that they are in the best condition as possible. And you have to...
It's a pretty amazing thing.
It's all like refrigerated, right?
Yeah.
We talked about it in the last episode.
We have talked about it previously, but and that's come at a great cost to them. Like, a lot of that cost hasn't been passed on to us. I mean, I don't think Hop Hog's gone up in price in the last 2 years.
Not that I know of.
But,
not that I know of either.
But, so they've worn a lot of that cost of making sure that happens. So you got to respect that.
Yeah, absolutely.
I haven't had a Hop Hog in 3 months.
It's getting the
seriously
shakes.
Killing me.
I could go for a Hop Hog right now.
Yeah.
You could always go for a Hop Hog. I had one last time, if I have to settle for the Heady Topper instead.
I might go to the Clock Hotel bottle shop and see if there's any Hop Hog on.
No, there isn't.
Oh, bugger.
It wouldn't be fresh if it was.
True.
Yeah.
Royal Albert into the hand.
Yeah. They'll have it on tap, right?
Yeah, they have it on tap.
You were there last night, right?
Mm-hmm. Sweet.
Well, I was.
That's pretty close.
Yeah.
It's walking distance, yeah.
Yeah.
Collapsing distance back, too.
Yeah. If you're listening to us live, you know where to find us after the recording.
Which you won't, because you won't get this out today.
Oh, no, we will, though. No, we've got a schedule that I stick to.
Yeah, fair enough. I mean, and it's funny, it's not just IPAs. I remember when I was in the States last, and I was at the Rogue Bar, and I had the Hazelnut Brown Ale fresh on tap, and that tasted amazing and so much more nuttier than Hazelnut Brown Ale I've had here.
Yeah, even when you came back from that trip, you bought a super fresh bottle of the Bacon Maple Ale.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was completely different.
Similar to the Heady Topper. That was, yeah. I think, by the time we had it, it was like a week old.
Yeah. And you could taste just so much more from it. That's not to detract from the other beers that we have that aren't as fresh, but it is. I think beers that aren't fresh, that doesn't mean they're bad. Mm-hmm. But the beers that are fresh are just for certain styles are just that level above.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, so I guess with the whole debate, I can definitely understand why people, especially brewers who make great beers, would want it that way, but. In a perfect world, that would be great, but we don't live in a perfect world.
No. And at the end of the day, I think it's more important that more people enjoy your beer rather than just a few people enjoy their beer at 100%. I think
as long as everyone is aware that beer changes with time is a pretty good step to saying, you know, and I think we've done it on here when I remember when we did the blind tasting, I brought in a beer and I actually said, oh, this is not... actually a fresh beer.
Well, so did I.
Wasn't that a VB? Oh, no, wait, that was a different episode.
Yeah. I mean, we did have a not-so-fresh VB.
Yeah.
So is fresh best for VB? No.
Nothing's best for VB.
I think the bin's best for VB. So I guess we've figured out our stance on fresh is best.
I think we're all agreed, and I think our context as... being Australian craft beer lovers, where you know what's going on everywhere else in the world, and it's sort of like, look, at the end of the day, I'll settle for not so fresh, because that just means I get to to
try it.
If I can, if I have a stone arrogant bastard that's like a month past what, you know, Greg Hock would say is ideal, I'd prefer to have it than not.
Yeah,
you know,
as long as you understand,
you realize that that's not. How it's meant to be.
Yeah, I think, you need to have that sort of caveat where you go, look, this is still a great beer, but it's not the best it can be.
But I guess to play devil's advocate, the other side of it is, you know, a lot of people who buy that beer don't realise that it's meant to be drunk fresh and that that bottle is, you know, 2 months, but 6 months old or
then
whatever.
Then that should be up to where they buy it from.
Mm.
But that's not always the case.
But where they buy it from is always going to be focused on selling the beer rather than... telling people the truth.
You're never going to go, don't buy this beer that I paid for and sitting on my shelf.
Mm.
It is, yeah, so I do agree with you that it is hard. I just think...
I can see both sides of the opinion.
I just think at the end of the day, I'd prefer to drink the beer rather than read about it on the internet and not get to drink it, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
So thank you very much for bringing that.
Oh, absolutely.
Man.
Oh man. That's
it's pretty good.
It's pretty good. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah. So, I think up next we've got an Aussie, Imperial IPA, which is very fresh. So this is the Red Duck Sabretooth. Have we had any Red Duck beers on the podcast yet?
I don't think so.
No. I think we mentioned them in our Extreme podcast. Just wait for someone. No. Okay. I think we mentioned them on our Extreme podcast.
Extreme!
There we go.
Someone had to do it.
Yeah. That's why I paused for so long. as one of the more extreme brewers in Australia. And this is their brand new Imperial IPA. Which I'm yet to try, so I'm looking forward to it.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't think Red Duck was always an extreme brewery. I mean, it wasn't. It's only been the last
two years that they've started
doing all these limited releases and more experimental beers.
Yeah, I guess it might have started with like the Gruet that very first group.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, possibly. Mm. And then I think
we might be
this year.
We might be talking about out of our asses here.
Well, we usually are.
Yeah.
Well, no one's here to correct us. So.
Yeah. No, we'll just get it on Twitter after we release the episode. But I think was it this year or last year that they decided that they aim to do 52 releases? So that was this year. We think. They aim to do 52 releases during the year.
I think they're falling a bit behind.
Possibly, but they've done a hell of a lot of releases.
It hasn't been a beer a week.
No, not quite. Have you? Do you stock Red Dark?
Yeah, yeah. I don't get every one of the releases, I do get most of them.
Quite a few.
Yeah,
because there's been some really really cool ones. The Black Bengal, the Dark IPA was great.
I really like that. The Gruitist,
yeah. That's amazing. Good. Does anyone know what Red Duck's production volume is?
No idea.
Because I'm going to assume they're bigger than say Hop Dog, right?
Yeah, I guess.
I think
easy
Tim could get
Hop Dog's tiny.
Yeah, Tim could get away with doing 52 releases a year.
Yeah,
because he does like 200 liters a batch, you know.
Yeah.
But I think if you're any bigger than that, doing that many releases is like, I think it's awesome from a standpoint of a beer nerd who just wants to try as many different types of beer. But yeah, coming from a like on or off premise where you've got to stock it, it's like, wow, that's a lot of different beers, a lot of different PLUs and
PLUs.
Do you know what it stands for?
Product look up. I think
it's like the
unique codes for each
the, in the in the right, like the database right, for right. Yeah. Point of sale sort of thing. And the yeah for the whatever.
We'll cover that in our point of sale podcast.
Saleable?
Saleable. Possible.
Sellable.
It's possible.
Possible? Possible.
Yeah.
That's it. Yeah.
POS.
Possible. Yeah.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, so if this is the podcastable network of podcasts. But yeah, so what do you guys think of the Sabretooth?
I think it's awesome. It's really big.
Yeah, and it tastes fresher than the Heady Topper to me.
Mm. I don't think it's as good, but it's
got a nice spice to it.
Mm. But it does. I do get more fresh hop from it than I did from the Heady Topper, and I'm not saying which one's better.
Same thing again. It's almost identical in color,
And it is a fresher bottle, right?
Yeah. This has just been released. This is their newest release.
Yeah, so this was this came out maybe a week ago, just over a week ago. Yeah. So it's 9%, so it's a little bit stronger than the Heady Topper as well.
And I can feel the alcohol more in this one.
Yeah, definitely. This is another. It's loaded with sea hops again, Centennial, Chinook, and Columbus. I think they were the same with Can't Fight the Funk, maybe.
Probably, yeah.
I think Chinook, Centennial, Columbus. That's exactly. Can't Fight the Funk had Citra in it.
Mm.
Instead of Chinook, but big sea hops, big American style, piney sort of. Not Pliny, piney. did you bring any Pliny back for us?
Not for you.
Oh, okay.
Somebody else requested.
Two different questions there. Did you bring it back? Did you bring it back for us?
Yeah.
He didn't pick it up yet, though, so might expire soon.
How much beer did you bring back?
28 bottles.
Nice.
So yeah, I love drinking beers from the US. I love drinking beers from the UK, from Belgium, from Germany, from wherever. But I think I love even more drinking beers from Australia that are awesome beers. And I think this is an awesome beer from Australia. I just said awesome like 4 times in the last 30 seconds.
So you've got like 52 left for the episode? Or?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, like for me, for example, drinking most of Ferrell's beers and most of Riverside's beers.
Yeah.
It's just, you can't do
That's
it
what
anywhere.
You want to,
you can't do it anywhere else in the world. It's like when you're in the west coast of the US.
And I think a part of that is freshness, right? Drinking an Australian beer in Australia, it's going to be fresher than drinking an American beer in Australia or drinking an Australian beer in America.
Yep, unless you have like a Learjet transporting the beers over.
I think sometimes it's one of the bonuses of being a smaller brewery is the fact is you can't stockpile beer.
Mm.
So everything has to be fresh because, I mean, guys like Riverside, I think they're
they don't get to stockpile anything.
No, like, if I do like a weekly order for Riverside, and it's not, I don't choose what I want. It's more about what's available this week.
Here's what you're getting.
Got the same problem.
Yeah. It's like, so this week we have this, this, and this. I'm like, okay, I'll grab all of it. And then next week it'll be, all right, we have this one, this one, and this one. You're like, yeah.
Yeah. Which is a good problem to have, I guess. You're selling, you know, as much beer as you can make.
Yeah.
Exactly. It's always fresh. And with you know, Riverside are very open about the fact that they do big American style hop forward beers.
Yeah.
And you want those types of beers to be fresh.
Did they do anything for Craft Beer Week?
Yeah, they had a big barbecue at their brewery.
Nice. At a Southern's barbecue.
Any special beers?
Did a Belgian Pale, which was a collaboration with somebody. Mm.
Well, that we'll put in the show notes.
Yeah. We'll put that in the show notes. Did you see that they did a collaboration with Yeasty Boys?
Yeah, they did. They did that during the week, yeah.
It's in the tank, apparently.
Yeah.
Cavalier as well.
And Cavalier. Was the Belgian Pale Ale Cavalier? I think it was.
Mm.
We'll confirm that.
Yes, it was. So they did a collaboration. Yeah, the Belgian Pale was a collaboration with Cavalier. So, I mean, Riverside, we don't need to talk about them too much. We've done a lot of singing their praise.
We've got to do at least once this episode, though,
right? Yeah, right? Like, we've ticked that off the bingo card.
That's going to be the next episode as well.
Yeah.
The Return of Riverside.
Yeah. Riverside Part 2.
Well, because you didn't get to
go. I didn't get to go, so we've got to do it again.
Yeah. I think Dave was a good replacement.
We'll get Eric on there as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Eric, because he didn't know we were coming that day, so he took the day off.
Oh, no.
Missed out.
That was a good session that day.
That was a good session.
I enjoyed listening to that episode.
So. It was pretty shitty audio, but
that's probably the worst part of it, but good content.
But what episode isn't shitty audio?
Yeah.
It wouldn't be session, but without shitty audio, would it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Morgan's main complaint.
So we've had a couple of beers that are super fresh, or meant to be drunk super fresh.
Mm.
We thought maybe we'd go for the other side of the coin, try a beer that is not so fresh.
And I think some beer styles are better when
they're not as fresh.
Yeah. When they're aged a bit.
Well, we're talking before about some beers are designed to be aged. Right?
Yeah, absolutely. Like, and, I think this is the perfect example of a style that should be maybe savoured after after bottling.
This is an Imperial Stout from the US. I didn't bring this one back.
Yeah, I've never heard of this beer before.
I think I've heard of it, but I've never had a chance to try it. So we're spoiling ourselves this episode. This is the Dogfish Head Worldwide Stout from 2008. This is not fresh at all.
I'm not sure how you found that, Lee.
But this is definitely gonna be interesting seeing how it's aged.
And I think with the stronger styles, this is like between 15% and 20%. It doesn't say in the bottle.
So it's not for sale in Australia, obviously.
Yeah, you can't sell it in Australia.
Yeah.
Wow.
I think the really strong styles like Imperial Stouts and Belgian Dark Strongs and similar styles like Old Ales and whatever are best a bit older than the release, not you know, fresh.
Yeah, I mean they got like stuff like Bearded Guards, which are other styles.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Designed.
And I think it's because, you know, when it first comes out and into the bottle or keg or whatever, that it still has a lot of rich, harsh flavours that don't really integrate well to the rest of the beer. And
Leo, producer, just pointed out, asked a question about lambics and Gers beers.
That's a really odd one.
It's a blend of different...
It's a blend of different vintages,
right?
But from the bottled version, I've talked to a few people, and it seems to be like... You can't really age it that much. it's better not fresh, but it's not better super old either. Mm. So like, you know, 6 to 12 months is probably the sweet spot for for sours. Apparently, I haven't tried it myself.
I'm trying to think which one it was. I had might have been like the Trois Fontaines I had recently, and I thought like it tasted a bit young. But then like, what I was thinking was, is it because the bottle needs to be aged more, just because the blend is a bit young?
But yeah,
it's interesting because the Gers is a blend of aged and unaged.
Lambic. I think normally it's 3 months and 3 years. I think.
It's 1 year, 2 year, 3 year.
Yeah, right.
For a Gers.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh no, for a Gers.
And wasn't there? Didn't we have an unblended lambic? At one of the. I don't know. I think we've tried an unblended lambic.
I know Cantillon have one.
Yeah.
I can't remember which one it was, but.
But that was it. Just.
Yeah.
Completely different than a Gers. And I mean, blending beers from different ages and from barrel aging is something you do, to, you know, get a mix of flavors.
Yeah.
I mean, I know even Doc does that with his barrel aged beers. The watermelon Warhead from Feral. They had at the Colleroy thing, they had just Warhead without the watermelon and without the barrel aging. So that was pretty interesting.
That was awesome. Yeah. It was really good.
It was just a really nice Berliner Weisse.
I would take that any day of the week.
Oh yeah, same. Yeah. If they just bottled that, like, you know.
Maybe they should.
Well, yeah.
Well, I don't know. It's about time for another Brewpub series, I reckon.
Yeah, and they've been promising it for a long time.
One of them got either cancelled or delayed, I think.
Oh, okay. Is that the...
I think it got delayed, yeah.
Yeah.
But,
did Brendan drink it all?
Could you blame him? Be like, yeah!
No, not at all.
Yeah.
If I brewed as well as Brendan, I'd probably drink all my own beer.
I wouldn't be able to leave the house. Yeah. Just set up like a hammock in the brewery.
With a tap above the hammock?
Under the bright beer tank. Just going.
It'd be like one of those absinthe fountains, so you just like control the drip rate, like a cold drip. Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you guys know anything more about this beer?
So I just had a look on the Dogfish Head website. They've been brewing it since 1999, apparently. But this is the 2008 version, so I don't know if they've rebrewed it since then. It didn't say much.
I think they might do it every year.
Yeah, they probably do.
So it's one of their seasonals.
Yeah. And it's very limited release, apparently, and it's between 15% and 20%, according to...
And they actually advertise it as an ageable beer as well, which is cool.
They say... It'll do well with time in the cellar, which is a nice. It's the opposite of the, you know, US IPA. It's something that's designed not to be drunk fresh.
Well, I mean, these are Dogfish Head is one of the breweries that that we can't get here for the reason about freshness.
So why?
And I found it interesting. When I was in Italy,
send this one.
When I was in Italy, they had some Dogfish Head stuff on tap, but it was all only dark beers.
Yeah.
So they only had the brown ale and I think one of the stouts on tap.
So none of the IPAs.
Yeah.
This is just amazing.
It reminds me of an abstract.
It's just so...
You know what it reminds me of is the Black Tokyo Horizon that we had.
It's not as thick as the Black Tokyo Horizon, but it's as complex. So complex.
I think it needs more aging.
I think this is... I think it's perfect. I think this is the perfect example of what happens when you age a beer. You can tell, like, a lot of the flavours have mellowed.
Yeah, it is quite mellow.
It's kind of
It's
still pretty huge, though.
And it's very complex. There's a lot of different levels of flavour, but it's not... they're not all very separate. They've come together quite nicely.
And, yeah.
I'm getting, like... Yeah, like, I think, like, port...
Sherry.
Port,
like,
sherry.
Sherry, like, cast, sort of a...
I'd give it 5 more years, to be honest.
Less raisin.
I can never hold on to a bottle that long, though. So...
What's the oldest bottle you have?
Oldest bottle I have is probably... 08. Okay. Oh, that I've had, like, drunk?
No, that you've
held on to since.
I still have a bottle of 08, a Belgian Dark Strong from 08. So that's probably the oldest bottle I've had and have held on to.
Nice.
Yeah, nice.
But the oldest I've had was 2 years older than me.
Wow.
Yeah, I believe I was at the time 24, so it was 26 years old, 27 Ooh. Years old.
What was it?
It was a Chimay Blue.
Nice.
From 82.
My producer's had an 84 Rodenbach. Which he still has.
You still have it. Oh.
Yeah.
All right.
So let's do a Roddenback episode.
We've already used the Rodden Beethoven episode title.
I believe our producer bought that when he was 20.
It's as old as
he just gave
beard.
Us the finger. 21. Yeah, that's right.
Wow.
Legal drinking age.
I could have bought that when I was one.
Yeah. And I was zero.
Yeah, I wasn't even a glint in my parents. I don't think my parents would have met. Anyway, I'm not going to.
Yeah. we're all revealing our ages.
Yeah. I'm just going to say this. We've got a few cheeses in front of us, and this matches so nicely.
Oh, does it? Yeah. I haven't even had any of that food yet.
That one. So, just. Yeah.
Yeah, mine, excuse the munching noises, but...
Mm.
What cheese is this?
It's like a cheddar of some description. I think it's like one of those three cheddars in one.
But just it just works really well. And, oh man, that is just delicious.
See, normally we like, with a beer of this big malt profile, and you'd expect a lot of like Vegemite or Marmite, but this is all like... A lot of like port and caramel
and vanilla and
It's not as gamey or anything like that as some of the other
big
imperial stouts that we've had. Yeah,
and I think a lot of that is the fact that it's had some time to mellow out and to age, and it's got a according to the bottle, a ridiculous amount of barley, a lot of barley.
Yeah, I don't know if I would recommend that needed more time. I think that's drinking pretty cool. I would be really interested to see how it would go in another 5 years.
But I'd be a bit worried about, like, I think it's reached the point where the actual beer is, like, optimal. Mm. And from now on, the only difference is it's gonna start oxidizing, and it's going to start getting some weird stuff happening to it. Because, that just happens over time with beer. I don't know.
That's what I found with that 82 Chimay, was that, it was pretty flat, it was oxidized, and a bit salty, actually, surprisingly. Yeah. I don't know what caused that, but,
interesting.
Yeah. Do you know if the beer was looked after and it's...
So I had it at Culminator, so they have... They're like a vintage beer bar in Antwerp, Belgium.
Yeah.
And they have a proper cellar, and they keep everything at, you know... proper conditions.
You said it was like oxidized stuff like that, but was it still tasting really good?
I thought it was tasting pretty good. I also had one from I think 84 or 85 that was tasting better.
Wow.
So I think
I think there is a certain point where it like the
there is
beer
a peak.
Becomes optimal and
there
then
is a peak.
There's a peak, yeah.
Yeah.
And I'd say this is close to that.
And I was saying before, I think apparently I haven't tried it with Gerzes and Sours, that around 6 to 12 months is the best.
Okay.
And after that, it kind of gets a bit, not as good.
Flat and lifeless, yeah.
Because I think we've all tried the Cooper's 1999 vintage.
Mm-hmm. I actually can't remember if I've had that one.
I can give you some.
Sweet.
Yeah. Right. Well, because I got a case of it.
All right.
I think it's... going towards the end of its peak.
It's definitely at its peak
I think it's past its peak. We should have a vintage party.
We could
have a vintage episode. Yeah.
I'm more than willing to crack them all out.
Yeah.
I think I've got about half a case left.
Because I remember the oldest Australian beer I've had is the Han Millennium.
Yep, I also have some of those as well.
And that was a bit flat.
That's gone.
Yeah. Is it all gone?
Well, that one was...
It's like not good.
Yeah.
That one was corked. Which for beer is... For a beer that's designed to be aged, is probably not the best idea. But, yeah. I'd personally like the way that, that the Belgian Gers producers do it. They put a cork and then a crown. Which I think you get some of that character of the cork. That corks are good
for. Yeah, I don't know.
And then you get... But
I wonder how much of that
properly.
Is just a show thing of pulling out
yeah,
the cork.
Sure. So in the bar, they have to get out the corkscrew and do it properly, which is a pain in the ass. But
I love watching bartenders who haven't opened a Cantillon before.
And they open it and they go, wait, what's that?
It was good fun.
Especially in Australian bars, where you don't use corkscrews at all. Everything's twist top.
It's pretty hard to get a Cantillon in a bar nowadays.
Yeah. Yeah, so we might finish the episode up with some recommendations. I was thinking maybe breweries to look for. So maybe if you want a brewery to visit or a brewery to just to look for their beers and drink. If you guys have any ideas of some recommendations to make brewery-wise, I'm not going to recommend Riverside. I do every episode, so I'll try and go outside my usual comfort zone.
Well, if you're in Orange County, California, I would recommend going to the brewery.
But that's with a U-E...
B-R-U-E-R-Y.
Okay.
Probably the best brewery in terms of the bar and the amount of beers available that I visited in the US.
Fantastic.
And a really great variety of different styles as well. A few sours, a few malty beers, a few hoppy beers. I think they had like 30 taps, and it was all their beer, which was pretty insane.
Cool.
Awesome. If you're in the US, do it.
Cool.
Someone's going to have to say it. So, a brewery to visit, we have to go for Riverside. I think in Sydney, as far as a brewery, you can actually just rock up to and have a beer and stuff like that. I think Riverside's pretty cool.
Yeah. And their beers are, awesome.
Yeah. I mean, we gush about them every episode.
Yeah,
so.
It's a...
But as far as a brewery, I mean, I'm still into Parrot Dogs at the moment. I've been smashing a lot of Parrot Dogs from New Zealand. So that would be my pick for a brewery to check out.
Cool, awesome. So I think my pick, they're not available in bottles at all. It's all tap stuff, but you can find them around Sydney pretty easily. And you can go visit them if you want. It's the Illawarra Brewery from down in Wollongong. It's like an hour by train to get down there.
I haven't had a chance to go down to the brewery.
They're like, you let them know if you're going. But even if not, just go to their bar, which is one of the biggest sort of bars in Wollongong. It's attached to the entertainment centre.
I've been there many times.
It's a great bar. Yeah.
That's the old Five Islands bar, right?
They are the old Five Islands brewery. They've moved the brewery off-site.
It used to be such a dodgy place, and it's still kind of
a bit dodgy, but there's good beer on tap.
There's now good beers, so.
And the head brewers, Sean and Asher, are two of the nicest guys in beer.
They're pretty cool dudes.
And their beers are just fantastic. Their pumpkin beer this year, the Smashing Rumpkin.
I haven't tried this year's Rumpkin. I really like
last year's one. I was at the Aussie Hotel Festival at the start of Sydney Craft Beer Week and had a taste of it, and I was just blown away. It was just delicious. That'd be my brewery to recommend. If you see any of their stuff on tap, or if you go down to Wollongong, go to their bar, or if you hit them up on Twitter or stuff and want to go visit the brewery, they're super awesome guys. They do growler fills at the brewery as well now. At their actual production brewery, they do growler fills.
Cool.
And at the bar, they usually have a few guest taps as well.
Which are always.
I haven't been, but I understand that they normally have quite a lot of hot dog stuff.
Yeah, hot dog. I think there was...
Because Tim used to work for Five Islands, so they've got a good relationship with him. Yeah.
I think they might have had Feral at some point.
Yeah. They've had some... So, I mean, Sean and Asher and Dave, the owner, they are all very into beer. So it's not just about their own beer, it's about beer in general. And that's something I think is admirable and something that's fantastic about them.
Right on.
So we might wrap it up there. You can find us on Twitter now.
We know the password now.
Well, we can actually reply.
So ignore everything that we've said in every other episode about Twitter. Our Twitter account is now @sessionablepod, P-O-D.
You can send tweets to the other one, but...
But we're not going to see them or reply.
Yeah, nobody's going to see them.
Yeah.
Except for the NSA.
We should ask them for the password.
And yeah, we love hearing your feedback.
Especially the good parts.
Yeah, even the bad parts. Yes, Morgan, we know the audio quality is not that good. Trying to fix that.
Are we?
A little bit, yeah. Okay. I'm doing stuff.
We'll get there one day.
We'll get there one day. Yeah, that's probably a good place to wrap it up. Thanks for listening. I'm on Twitter as @astudyinbeer. You guys?
I'm at the Beer Lebowski.
And I'm at Adrian Pua.
Awesome. Right, cool. We will see you in 2 weeks.